Today's guest is Dr. Tim Shannon from America. For the past 20 years, Tim has had a busy practice in Oregon and Washington, treating a wide variety of multimorbid conditions. After being introduced to polarity analysis by Swiss pediatrician Heiner Frey, Tim began to use it consistently, and he found he was able to get more reliable improvements for his patients. For the past 4 years, Tim has used polarity analysis exclusively. As an educator, Tim has taught at NUNM Grand Rounds and presented at AANP conferences. His published work includes articles in the Naturopathic Doctor News and Review, Similimum, and other current journals. You can find out more about polarity analysis at www.polarityanalysis.com. That's P-O-L-A-R-I-T-Y analysis.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we get to hang out with Dr. Tim Shannon in Olympia, Washington, USA. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you.
It's really lovely to have you on because I've asked you to come and speak on a topic that I am really passionate about learning more about, a polarity analysis. That's the problem with this show. I hear about all these different things and then I think, oh, I want to find out more about that. But there's something about polarity analysis that really resonates with me. I've tried looking a little bit online, but it's still a bit confusing. So I'm really looking forward to getting down to the nitty gritty with you today. But before we get into all the good stuff, can you tell our listeners how you were first introduced to homeopathy?
Well, 40 years ago, probably. I was a young carpenter working in Manhattan, in New York, and I had a fracture of my L5 vertebrae many years younger, doing knucklehead things that boys do at times, climbing cliffs and falling off cliffs and stuff. But in my 20s, I had some chronic low back pain and some depression. And it's so long ago, I don't remember the details all that much, but someone referred me to this fellow who we called the homeopath, and I didn't really know anything about it. And I went to see this guy, and he talked to me for an hour and a half or so, and then he gave me a little powder of something. And then I left, and he said to come back in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, I don't remember. And I think he was a high-potency prescriber, so I think it was a 10M, if I'm not mistaken. So then I came back 6 or 8 weeks later, and he said, so how are you doing? Did that medicine help? And I said, I don't think that powder did anything. And he said, oh, so you're still having the back pain? And I said, was I having back pain? And he said, well, yeah, that's what you told me. That's one of the reasons you came. And I said, oh, well, I guess maybe that's better. I haven't really had back pain. And he said, what about the depression? And I said, was I depressed too? He goes, well, those were the reasons you said you were coming. And I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm not doing so bad then.
I had to mute myself because I was laughing so hard in the background because homeopaths can relate to exactly that story, hey?
Yeah, so that was kind of my beginning. That kind of woke me up a bit. I started reading about it and so forth. And then maybe a decade later, I decided to go to naturopathic college, primarily to learn homeopathy, which is pretty much what I did. You know, I went through all the courses and passed my classes and all that, but really I was meaning to be there to be a homeopath and then have the advantage of being able to order x-rays for people and, you know, other care. So that's been a real boon for me to be able to order things and get blood work and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's my beginnings. Humble as they may be.
That's really cool that you are able to do that because as a naturopathic doctor, I mean, you obviously have all those other benefits. So sometimes I do wish that I could just order that x-ray or that blood test, whatever, myself instead of having to send them to a doctor. So amazing. Now, talk to us a bit about polarity analysis because you didn't start out with that straight away, right? You kind of did your journey and then you came across polarity analysis. Talk to us about that journey and what was it about polarity analysis? Because from what I was reading up on you, it sounds like you're almost using that exclusively now the last few years.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm a very strange case for sure in the sense that when I went to school and started learning homeopathy, I pretty much did like what I think a lot of homeopaths do. They kind of look at the menu of homeopathic superstars in the world and say, wow, let me see what this guy's like and that guy's like. And so, you know, I went to many Sankaran conferences that were coming, that came in the area. Paul Herskew, I trained with him and his cycle and segments methodology. Penny Hudensmas, I don't know if she's German or Belgian, she would come to the States and I did several of her seminars. And then what really hooked me was, because for some of us, we find one person who we really like their whole approach. And for me, that was Massimo Mangialavori. He came to California and did an eating disorder seminar. And I was just really impressed by his kind of scholarly understanding of the sort of the nuances of the personalities of patients and what their trends were and what kind of pathology they tended to develop. And that became really my main approach for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe something like that. But I also was a super serious homeopath and not a very good business person. So I had my own business as a naturopath doing homeopathy. And what that meant for my personality was that I was working 60, 70 hour weeks because I would see patients and then I'd be spending my weekends studying the cases to try to find that exact perfect medicine and reading through all the different plants and animals and the like. And for sure, I enjoyed some great results. I mean, patients had good responses. I had some very unusual remedies that were transformative to people. And it was very encouraging, very exciting. But the toll of working those hours started to kind of burn me out, especially when my wife moved in. She was like, you're no fun to be around because there's no time to be with you. You're studying all these cases all weekend long. And so at some point I kind of burned out and was kind of honestly looking for a different line of work because, you know, I had a lot of expenses from medical school. And so that led me to move up here, Olympia, because we got a job offer. And when I first started, I got trained in intravenous therapies and started seeing cancer patients and doing IV therapy, and homeopathy sort of started to fall to the wayside. And I started trying to see what it's like to be a naturopath, because I've never really done that. And in the process, you know, a patient would come in and they'd have a daughter that was very jealous or something. And then I would talk to the parent a little and go, wow, this sounds like a nightshade. And then I ended up falling back into homeopathy again. And then at one point, probably 2016, I'm thinking, could have been 2015, I'm not sure what it was, but I read Heiner's study on ADD, a crossover, a double-blind study. And in the study, he got an 87% success rate, which I was like, that's not real. That can't be possible. Nobody gets those kind of outcomes. But I read the study and it seemed really legitimate. And I was like, could this be real? And then it turned out that this guy is seeing 40 patients a day. And I've interviewed him myself, and I found out when he did the study, he was seeing 40 patients a day. He didn't like change his practice. He just did the study while he was seeing the same volume of patients. And so I just couldn't really, like, that just seemed crazy. So I got his two books, the one on ADD and the other one, the general one. And, you know, at that point, my practice had changed because when I moved from where I was in Oregon to Washington, in Washington, we bill insurance for patients, which meant that I couldn't sit down with patients for 2 hours or 2.5 hours for an intake like I used to do. So now the max I could really see a patient realistically was like 60 minutes, 45 minutes for a new intake. So that kind of made me think, I wonder if this system can work. And so I started using it, like I would see some patients using my old Massimo approach, and then I would do the polarity analysis method with people either that I had failed to help with the Massimo approach or just people that I thought for some reason they might be a good trial. And right away, I was surprised, I mean, really shocked by how easy the system is to get great outcomes on even, you know, objectively very challenging pathology and health complaints. And that gradually, over the course of maybe a year, converted me to the point where I rarely ever did the Massimo approach. I never take cases home anymore. Don't have to. I can prescribe at the visit and with generally pretty good confidence that turns out to be right. The medicine works. So for me, it's been a complete turnaround, something I never would have predicted. Like if you would have told me something about polarity analysis when I was deep into the Masimo approach, I probably would have laughed and said, yeah, but it's not a deep enough approach. It's not getting to the soul of the patient and the like. And it is a different animal. It's definitely a different approach. But at least in my practice, it's become just a very routine process where there's a range of different health complaints that I'm not saying I can help every one of those patients, but more often than not, I don't know what the numbers are because I've never really tracked my outcomes. So I don't know for sure, but I can say for sure that when it comes to things like ADD, migraines, anxiety, depression, those are all routinely straightforward. They're not complex cases to solve with polarity analysis.
That says a lot because those are all very tricky things to treat in general in clinic, especially migraines. That's one that I find quite tricky. I've had really good results. I'd say with migraines, maybe 50-50 because it depends on so many different things. But migraines, especially, and I actually once asked one of my mentors, you know, she's got like 40 years experience. I said to her, what's your success rate like in migraines? Because I feel like I'm not having as good success as I do with many of my other complaints. And then she said as well, you know, probably like 50-50. So I've got a few progesterones, a remedy I've had really good results with, adrenalinum, a few different things depending on what it is. But migraines can be really tricky to treat. And I mean, ADHD, ADD, can be a really tricky one to treat as well. So if you are saying these are just routine things that you treat, you know, with lots of confidence and without having to take the cases home, I think a lot of homeopaths' ears are perking up right now because that, like you say, we can spend weekends, evenings. A lot of homeopaths' partners, unless they're homeopaths themselves, are not very impressed with the amount of time that we spend outside working on cases.
Yeah, I think there's been some divorces as a consequence.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
So like in terms of what you're saying, the thing that there's many things that I think are really conspicuous about what Heiner has done. But one of them is that in the ADD study, I don't remember the exact number, but I think the number of patients in the study was like 64 or something once they had scrubbed it all down. I think it was like 64 patients. So it wasn't a huge cohort. But he got that outcome, 87%, with 18 remedies. And of course, many of those he used several times, like Imodium and Calcarea. And so in my experience, a lot of times the differential using polarity analysis is, especially for ADD, it's fairly routine. You'd be surprised by how commonly lycopodium works for kids that are aggressive or a little dictatorial with their parents. Or, I mean, for sure, there are cases, you know, we have our ADD kids that they pull on their bossy pants, so to speak, and tell mom what to do when they get angry and so on. And of course, your differential is broader than just lycopodium. There's Aurum, there's Arnica, there's a bunch of medicines that can be in that ilk. But usually the number of medicines that come up are so limited. And the system, if you apply the algorithm and the guidelines and the heuristics that Heiner has built into the system, then the outcomes are pretty predictable. It's an amazing thing that I just never would have even thought of if my circumstance hadn't changed. I was working in a practice now where I couldn't see people for 2.5 hours. Mm. And then, you know, I just happened to see this study and realized, could this be real? And then I surprised the heck out of myself to see that it actually is a real thing.
Well, Tim, I think we've teased our listeners enough. Now, let's tell them what is polarity analysis, because I think many of them might not have heard what it is. So tell them what it is and what it's based on and, yeah, go from there.
So polarity analysis is based on Boninghausen's pocketbook repertory, which I never really touched. I never used prior to this. But what it is it's not, because there's also plenty of good homeopaths who are just using the TBR2 or George Dimitriadis's version of the Boninghausen repertory. I believe Heiner uses a different, more modern rewrite of the Boninghausen's pocketbook. I think it's by a German physician by the name of Gipser, or I don't know how you pronounce his name, but I think he's the publisher of the version of the pocketbook that Heiner uses in his system. But what Heiner did was, because he's a medical doctor, and a lot of times medical doctors are acclimated to seeing high volumes of patients every day, he had been trained in the Boninghausen's pocketbook, but he found that it really limited, using homeopathy in his pediatric practice, really limited how many patients he could see and help in a day. And he started realizing, as he was using the pocketbook, that there were a whole host of rubrics in the pocketbook that often would lead him away from the simile. So, for instance, he started using the pocketbook and computerizing it and simplifying the system. Like, for instance, I think the pocketbook has about 3,000 rubrics, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong. But I think the whole repertory is something like 3,000 rubrics. And what he did is he used something called Bayesian analytics, which is a form of math that's based on trying to calculate the probability that a remedy, or in this case, that a particular symptom modifier or modality, like getting cold aggravates or light aggravates, so any of those common modalities, he started realizing, and I think this is something he said that Boninghausen has written about, or Hahnemann has written about, is that the most important rubrics in the Boninghausen repertory are what's called polar rubrics. So that means rubrics that talk about the dynamic change that happens, like, okay, let's talk about migraines, for instance. So patient doesn't have migraines, right? So right now they don't have one, and then they start getting a migraine. So when they start getting a migraine, there's a whole range of different changes that their physiology manifests, like their eyes become photophobic. They can't bend over because bending over causes their head to pound. Some people, they notice their heart rate increases, or they totally lose their appetite. So what he found is, when you take rubrics that are polar, meaning you either lose your appetite with migraines or you get hungrier with migraines, which is something I've never seen so far. Usually it's you lose your appetite. But he started realizing, looking at rubrics that are polar opposites, like the person now with their headaches, they get a chill when they get a headache, or they get overheated and they got to take layers off, or they got to open a window and get fresh air. All of those have polar opposites. Like, you're either better by cold or you're better by hot. You're better by lying or you're worse by lying. And so basically he took the whole 3,000 rubrics down to about 164 that we use that are called polar green rubrics. And he had treated patients. The way he came to those is, first he started itemizing or prioritizing using almost exclusively polar rubrics because he found them to be incredibly reliable. But even then, he started kind of using an analysis where, let's say he took a migraine patient and it took him four trials to find a medicine that ended up solving the case. So then he did an analysis and he started looking at some of the rubrics that had led him away from the medicine that eventually cured the case. And he did this over thousands of cases. And he started calculating which rubrics routinely were unreliable. And he shaded them red because they more often would lead you away from the curative medicine than towards it. Then he had other rubrics that were equivocal, meaning they sometimes were helpful and sometimes would lead you away. And he graded them as yellow. And then lastly, the rubrics that were the most reliable are almost all polar. I think most all of them are polar, meaning hot or cold, better lying or worse lying. And then he shaded them green. And so when you're using the system, you strongly prioritize the green. I virtually never use any of the red rubrics, which is almost the whole repertory. So in one fell swoop, he shrunk the complexity of the system down to what he's calculated out as the most reliable sections of the repertory. And so that's kind of the basic process. I mean, there's a lot more nuance to it. I can show you, like, maybe a screenshot of a typical case, for instance, to show you how it kind of looks, to maybe because, you know, I'm just talking in the
abstract. Yeah, that would be great, because we will share it, if you're okay, we'll share it on YouTube and on Rumble as well. I just want to clarify the word polar. So are you meaning like as an opposite to their natural state? So if they naturally are a very hungry person, but now they have a migraine and they are not hungry at all, or do you mean... Like, I'm just trying to clarify that part a little bit. And I think I'm confusing myself because I watched a couple of videos of Heiner online and read a few things. And he was saying, for example, Pulsatilla is thirstless. If you look at thirstlessness, Pulsatilla will be in there. But also if you look at thirst, Pulsatilla will be in there. You know how sometimes the same remedy will be in polar opposite rubrics. So then I was wondering, is that depending on the polarity with that, or?
So polar is the simple description that you mentioned initially, that if you have migraines and you normally have a normal or high hunger, and then it gets blunted with a migraine, then you would use that. That's a polar opposite to their norm.
To their norm. Okay. So that's okay.
But polar, I shouldn't say it that way. I should say polar opposites means someone's hungrier or less hungry. Somebody has a higher sex drive or a lower sex drive as a consequence of their Lyme disease or whatever it is. And so that's what you're looking for. What you're looking for is if this is the patient when they're asymptomatic or minorly symptomatic, and then their arthritis flares, then you're gathering basic polar symptoms, like the person gets much more inflamed from being in a damp context, or they're much, some patients with arthritis, once they start moving, the Rustox variant, then it starts to oil up their synovial fluids and then they feel better from their pain. And you have other patients, the more they move, the worse it gets. So you're tracking how each of those polar changes occur that are deviations from their normal health.
Okay, so their natural state. And then with all of their symptoms, what is the biggest variant of what is their natural state?
Yeah. So like I'm looking at a couple of cases here. I'm trying to see if there's one here that would be kind of fun to walk through, because there's an easy way to remove the name of the patient. So here's an example. So this is a woman in her 30s. She's post-COVID. And since COVID, she's had this right air congestion, lethargy, depression, and a partial hearing loss. Okay, so this was real recent. This is June 22nd. So in her case, she noticed that when she was lying on her right side, that congestion got worse, that she's now getting these kind of flushes of heat. And when she does, she's concomitantly, she doesn't take off cover. She just keeps them on. She's better with her symptoms, when she's overall moving rather than being idle, but she's become more movement averse since COVID, meaning she's more fatigued, and so then it's harder for her to get herself out of bed and get moving. She's having difficulty hearing. So you can see this is shaded yellow, which is a rubric we tend to use less often, because these green ones, they all have a P on them, meaning they have a polar opposite, like the opposite of lying on the right side worse would be lying on the left side worse, or lying on the right side better. That's another polar opposite. She's noticed that ever since she's got this kind of lethargy going on, she's more irritable with her child, markedly so. She's really lost her sex drive. When she wakes up in the morning, she wakes into symptoms. So she wakes into feeling lethargy and depression. And there's the actual symptom of depression or sadness. And she's noticed that her saliva is now increased. So in this case, when you look at that, so now let me try to break this down for you. So you see an array of different homeopathic medicines up here. And what you see is this gray shading and this white shading. So the gray shading shows that these remedies have been ruled out by the system because, well, let me show you an example. Let's look at Heppar, for example. First, I have to talk about the genius of a remedy versus indicators for a remedy that are more tenuous. So the grading in Boninghausen's repertory suggests that if the grading is a one, like lying on right side for conium is a one, that means that in the proving for conium, infrequently lying on the right side makes it worse.
Okay.
But for Magmuir, for heat with aversion to uncover, That's been shown to be multiple times in improving. So okay. That gets graded as a 2 by Boninghausen. Now, heat with aversion to uncover for canium is a 3. So 3, 4, and 5 are what's referred to as the genius of that remedy. Because lots of remedies, for instance, Ignatia is also listed for heat with aversion to uncover, but only in a rare instances and provings, whereas in canium, it's not only been shown in multiple times in provings, but it's also cured cases. So there's cases where that metric, that particular rubric, showed itself to be curative. And so one of the jobs of Boninghausen and Hahnemann when they first started homeopathy was to try to separate the wheat from the chaff, or the signal from the noise. Like, they knew that not all of the symptoms that came in improving were relevant for medicine. So they were trying to stratify the medicines by what are the characteristics that are most reliably curative. And the way they did that is by diligently underlining how frequently this patient responded and this rubric was part of the solution. And so you can see, for instance, that canium is listed as a 3, meaning genius level, meaning characteristic level, for this rubric, a 4 for this rubric, and so on. So you can see how all these different medicines have a different scoring. So in polarity analysis, those rubrics, those remedies that are shaded gray have been ruled out by the system because, according to Heiner, and he says this is also something Boninghausen has suggested, is that if you have a polar opposite to what's true of your patient, like in this case, Heppar is ruled out because Heppar's genius is more often to be worse for movement, not better. Or similarly, Mercurius is also tends to be worse for movement more often than better. So from Heiner's perspective, if you have arsenicum, right? Let's say you do a polar spread and arsenicum is the first medicine that comes to the fore. Well, everybody knows that arsenicum is super thirsty and their mouth is dry and they want to take sips, right? That is a genius level characteristic of arsenicum. So if you have a case that every single rubric fits arsenicum, except your patient is super, super dry and has no thirst at all, then this system will shade it gray and rule it out. Okay. Because from a genius characteristic, you can't rely on that medicine to work. Even if it's just one rubric that's genius level, from Heiner's work, that's going to rule the medicine out.
That's really interesting because we do get taught that you match the client to the remedy, not the remedy to the client. And so we get taught that there's never going to be a case where all of the symptoms in the remedy are going to be found in your client. But what you're saying is there are some symptoms within that remedy that is so strong and so reliable, for example, sulfur with heat or rust tox, better movement, that if right. your client does not have that, it has got the polar opposite of that, then you shouldn't use that remedy. So if your client is worse for movement, but everything else fits rust tox, then you wouldn't give that.
Yeah. And I should put a caveat in there.
Okay.
This guideline that I'm articulating here is specific to polarity analysis. So there's a range of different heuristics and guidelines that are specific to this system that don't really apply to a lot of the more modern methods, which have a much broader palette to look from. The whole sort of benefit of polarity analysis is that you're using a much smaller set of rubrics. Like I said, 168 or 163 is the ones that you most commonly use. You rarely use anything else in the repertory. And then what that means is the Boninghausen pocketbook is comprised of like 133 remedies. But of those, there's really, you really only use about 80 to 100 because many of the other smaller remedies are so small that they almost never come up. They have almost no characteristics in the time when the Boninghausen repertory was completed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense now.
So you're using a system that is much less complex, but it relies on very specific guidelines and the back end that he built into the system. So for instance, in this case, all of these remedies are ruled out, so I don't even have to waste my time trying to differentiate them. So I just ignore them. And so then I'm looking, usually the curative remedy in polarity analysis is going to be between the top three. Often it's the top two, but sometimes it's the three. And occasionally there's an odd duck medicine over here that's the right one. But on a day-to-day basis, it's usually one of these three medicines in my experience. And in this case, I started asking this patient for a differential to try to see if I could narrow down and see which of these three medicines mostly fit. And one of the characteristics that I've seen commonly in MAGMUR and NATMUR and chlorides and muriaticums is that they often have their mind gets overly focused on past negatives and hurt feelings and disappointments and the like. And when I asked the patient about that, she just laughed and said, oh my God, that is so true for me. I can't even stop myself from just constantly. There's bitterness. And the other piece of the depression here, which I neglected to say, is this patient just went through a divorce. Oh. And so part of the depression and bitterness and resentment is allied to this whole context that she's in the middle of when she comes to see me. So I gave her MAGMUR, and I haven't had a follow-up with her yet, but she just sent me a note saying right away her mind just released and doesn't do the reiterative thing anymore, and she's feeling better, and I think it's 10 days out. So I don't know yet. I have to do a follow-up, but this is just an example to show you the process of how it works. So like in a case like this, you can see there's not a ton of rubrics being used, but they're very specific to what's changed. So this is basically a never well since analysis, where you're taking a patient who enjoyed good health prior to a COVID infection, and then she got these lasting symptoms. So it remains to be seen if the medicine, if MAGMUR is going to reverse more, because right now she's saying her energy is better and the mental rumination is better. So I haven't had her back for a follow-up to check about the hearing and the right ear congestion. Oh no, she said the ear congestion was now gone. Mm-hmm. So it's not a complete case yet, but this is just an example to trot out the system to a certain degree. There's a lot more nuance to it, but this is the kind of broad stroke. Does that help?
It really does. And do you think that this is a process that is really good for new homeopaths? So you can become so overwhelmed, or is it more for people who have, is it basically for anyone, or would you suggest this for new homeopaths or homeopaths who have been at this for a little while? Is there a particular subset that you find really embrace this method more so than another?
This is theoretical, but in my mind, polarity analysis is the secret weapon that if it was employed broadly to students, personally, I've been doing some training with it for, I think we're 3 years in, but mostly we're not doing beginners. We're not doing people who aren't homeopaths. We're not teaching basic homeopathy. We're teaching secondary education, people who've already done some kind of homeopathic training somewhere. But my own sort of vision of polarity analysis, where it's uniquely qualified to work, is for beginners. And in particular, if we ever want to start getting medical doctors, and in particular, holistic medical doctors or acupuncturists or nurses, people that are already trained, that are busy people, I haven't tested out this hypothesis, but I'm pretty sure using this system, it's possible to train some of these people in 6 months or a year and have them already be seeing awesome outcomes without having to do in-depth studying of Interior Medica and reading through old books and the like. I know a lot of people feel like that's heresy to say, oh my God, you don't have to read all the books. But I'm pretty sure this is a system. It's not a simple system, but it's dramatically simpler than most of your contemporary approaches. And the possibility to start getting good outcomes right away is so much, in my biased opinion, is so much more likely with a method like this than using a lot of what the modern approaches like that I used to use are. I think those are forever learning new medicine. This one, you can master the system. You can get to a point where, like I say, it's routine that you get good outcomes, and it's not hard on you. It's very straightforward. Once you learn it, it's 6 months or a year for you to kind of grok the basics. And then a lot of what you have to do if you're a homeopath, you have to actually leave aside your old assumptions. Mm. So some of the slowness of learning it is actually, especially when I'm teaching people, is they often make the mistake of using polarity analysis and without thinking about it, adding some of their own training, which then ends up cluttering their spread and makes it more complex than it really should be. And then they don't get the good outcome. Like I said, we haven't started teaching polarity analysis to beginners, people who have not trained in homeopathy yet. But my theory is that it would be like the cat's meow, the ultimate tool to really on-ramp beginners, either people who want to be professional homeopaths or people who are licensed providers who are busy and they're not going to spend 3 years or 4 years going through these long in-depth trainings. So that's kind of my sweet spot, I think, that polarity analysis can provide.
I particularly like it. And I know from reading that it can be used for acute and chronic, but it sounds like it's recommended to start off just using it on your acute cases. And once you're comfortable with it, move on to your chronic cases. But I particularly like it. We're right in the middle of cold and flu season here down under at the moment. And I particularly like it from that aspect because I can go around in circles sometimes trying to find an acute remedy for a client. And we should all be able to prescribe an acute remedy in under half an hour, I say. We shouldn't for acute be able like go sit for hours and repertorize that. That client is sick now. You should know within half an hour what remedy to give that person. And you should confidently be able to give them a backup remedy in case the first remedy doesn't work. So that's part of polarity analysis really appeals to me because especially when it comes to coughs and coryzas and flu-y type symptoms, we have hundreds of remedies that can be helpful with that. And sometimes it can be so hard to know what to give a person. So I really like the idea of putting these symptoms in there and really focusing on, like you said, those polarity symptoms. And then you can with really good certainty. And still, I feel like this is probably going to be that 80-20 principle where probably 80% of the cases that you do are going to work really well on this, but that 20% that needs a different remedy that's outside this 80 or 100 or so remedies that's going to come up in here, you're going to have to then go further and maybe use a different method to find the remedy for your client. But this appeals to me from the acute prescribing part particularly.
Yeah, well, I have to say from the chronic perspective, it's also just amazing for autoimmune disease and people that are having like some pretty severe ongoing chronic challenges. But yeah, so this is just fairly straightforward example of a patient that has a post-COVID set of symptoms, plus, like I said, depression correlated to this recent divorce that she just went through or is going through now.
I really like the questionnaire that comes with it as well. So you've got a questionnaire with the 160 questions that people fill out before they come in, right?
Yeah, there's two questionnaires. There's a general questionnaire for all your basic health complaints, your headaches, your stomach aches and the like, autoimmune disease. And then there's one that's specific to use for ADD, Asperger's syndrome, autism, and that kind of realm.
Wow.
So and that one's more simplified. There's much less choices in there. But yeah, so both of those questionnaires are mostly being used, not like whenever somebody marks something off, it's just automatically true. It's basically the reason for the questionnaire is to sort of prepare the person to start using some self-observation so they become a better reporter about which modalities are true for them that are really a part of their headache or depression or whatever. And then once we have that data, as you can see, the system will get rid of the medicines that have very low probability of solving the case, and then we'll prioritize that first few remedies. And generally speaking, the remedies in that first few, in my experience. And so that makes the differential between three remedies in most every case.
Oh, incredible.
Sometimes it's just one remedy or two because it's obvious what the remedy is. The other piece to it is if you're using sepia and lycopodium and all of these common remedies and seeing good success with them over and over again, when you see somebody come in, that lycopodium is there, but Ipecac is there, and Ipecac doesn't come up that much. Like this patient I had recently with, I don't know if you see much of these down under, but I've been seeing a pretty good steady flow of patients that have had one of the COVID vaccines. And then consequent to that, they've had some very unfortunate side effects that remain
absolutely.
For years.
It's keeping us so busy, and even a couple of years on.
Oh, yeah. But this one patient, for instance, I had, because I so routinely know the characteristics of lycopodium and sepia, they came up first, but Ipecac was the next one up. And when I did a differential with her, it really looked good for Ipecac. And she's had a dramatic turnaround. So that's one of the great things about when you get to know old familiar medicines and see all the different realms, that sometimes you're surprised how commonly, like I'm surprised how commonly aconite cures long-term seasonal allergies. I never would have thought that. But yeah. I have many cases where aconite just ends the, and then years later, they don't get allergies anymore. So I'm also discovering different ways to use medicines that I thought were in this kind of keynote realm. Like I have a graphitis, you often think about skin cases. Well, I have great ADD cases with graphitis. No. I have great gastroenteritis cases with graphitis. You just start to learn all the different facets of those remedies, but it also helps you when a small remedy like hyoscyamus comes up. In this system, hyoscyamus is very small. Stramonium is very rarely seen. But when it comes up, or like I just had a case of somebody who came in for anxiety attacks, and to my surprise, opium came up, which almost never comes up in the system. It's very rare. And now, and this guy even had the keynote of lying obsessions and so on. And now he's just like, his anxiety is so much better. I never would have thought that this guy's anxiety was an opium anxiety, but the system just figured it out. So it's an amazing discovery process for me as a homeopath. And it really broadens my materia medica to get way beyond just keynotes and what we've all been taught.
You have completely sold me. Where do I sign up for your course?
There's a website. I think it's literally just polarity analysis, those two words together.com. I believe that's it.
Yeah, I think I still have it up because I was looking at it last night. Let me just go double check. So for our listeners, you can go to polarityanalysis, just one word, .com. And just find out more about the courses, your 2023 schedule. It says autumn. So is that, oh, here we go, the dates. So you've got an autumn starting in September.
It has the dates. We do 2 trainings, 3.5 month trainings per year. We used to do 3, but now we're doing 2. You know, the other thing is, I tell people this all the time. The way I learned polarity analysis was reading through the books and going through all the examples, like he says in the book. So you can totally learn it on your own. I would hope that the advantage of being trained through our system is that given that I've now worked through 2,500 cases or something using the system, I have some pretty good expertise about some of the nuances and a lot of the basics. So hopefully it will make it a little faster than it took me to learn from the book. But you can learn it from the book. The books are excellent, especially if you do exactly what he says, which is what I did. He has 50 examples in the first book, the general book. And if you just do what he did, just put them into the system and read through and try to solve it yourself. I did that with all 50, and then I did it with the ADD one before I started using the system. And that was enough to get me good outcomes right away. Certainly people are welcome to join our class, but you can also learn it from the book. So
amazing. And the software, so do you subscribe to the software or can you purchase it outright or how does that work?
If the software is web-based, it's something that Heiner puts up. It's $12 a month for 2 years, and then it's free thereafter.
Okay.
If you join our class, I think they give it to you for free for the whole class for like the first 3 or 4 months. Okay. And then you got to pay the $12 a month.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Not very expensive that way, honestly.
Tim, thank you so much for coming and blowing our minds today about polarity analysis. I'm really excited about getting started on this. Is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with? And is the best place to get hold of you just polarityanalysis.com or is there any other place that you prefer people reach out to you if they want to know more?
I think the website is probably a good way to go. There's a woman by the name of Marjorie who she's kind of my right-hand woman, I guess
right-hand
you could call
girl.
It. So she's kind of the backup that kind of fields people who want to do the training. Or the other thing we do with the training is we do live Zoom patients. So patients unknown to me, somebody sends a patient with migraines or depression or whatever. And then I just take the case and model it and show how to build the repertory for it. And then we do all the follow-ups with the patient. So that way students can see exactly how the process gets done consistently.
And any final messages you want to leave us with?
I just think it's a wonderful gift to homeopathy. I hope as a community, we start picking up on systems that are easier for people to learn. I think this has really blown me away. That's for sure, compared to what the kind of work I did in 70-hour weeks. It's a blessing. It's a blessing, and it's bizarre. It's like the paradox of homeopathy. You actually help, for me, I help way more patients with way less work with tiny amounts of remedies, where I used to think the more remedies you know and the more theories you know, you're able to help more people. But that never happened for me. I got to a point where I was able to help a certain amount of people, but then I learned more and more remedies, but it didn't equate to helping more people. So this is the system that, for me anyway, really changed that dramatically.
And it sounds like the core of what Hahnemann was all about, really, is like getting it back to basics. I think a lot of the provings and things that we do these days with all these unusual remedies is more for our entertainment as homeopaths, because it's fun to say, you know, I prescribe T-Rex for somebody, or the milk of a lion, or the feather of a, you know, whatever.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. But you know what? Back to basics. At the end of the day, we want to help as many people as possible.
It doesn't have to be either or, of course. Mm-hmm. I think I would just say it's particularly suited for beginners who just, you know, they want to be able to succeed right off.
And
one of the ways you can do that. And we've had a lot of beginners come onto our program, and they were trained through some other system, and they just totally dropped it. And all they do is PA, and they're thrilled. Mm-hmm. They're just loving it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're happy to have a busy practice, where you're happy to be busy seeing lots of people, helping lots of people, and this is your job. This is what you do.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Tim, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I'm super excited about cracking into this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eugenia. Real pleasure.